It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
And that's the bottom line, because John McCain said so.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, the worst song of all time. We're going to be talking about it tomorrow. Tell us yours now at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's right on the homepage to the right of the photo of the day, and we'll be playing those songs for you tomorrow on BYOB Friday.
I took a sneak peek at the results. I think we'll go with the top 25, and you're going to hate every one of them.
Wonderful. I can't wait. So are you ready to go to Beijing, China,
please,
gentlemen? Let's do it right now. Yes, without further ado.
Beijing.
Please welcome.
开幕!
There it is. Let's go to the best thing about Washington, D.C. television, ladies and gentlemen. Live from the wee hours in Beijing, China. Let's say hi to Lindsay Zarniak. Lindsay!
Hello, ni hao from China, guys. How are you?
Ni hao, Lindsay.
Ni hao.
It's dawn in Beijing. How are you, and how are your sleep patterns over there?
Well, I'm great. I mean, I actually just walked in the door.
Oh, really?
But it's not because I was not doing anything particularly interesting. My hours have just gotten flip-flopped because on Monday here, we started taping the show that I'm doing over here.
It's on Oxygen, right? So, it's on Oxygen?
Exactly. And
right.
So we tape it from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Beijing time.
Oh, my God.
So
wow.
It's crazy. I know. But so the deal is that before we started on Monday, I was doing, I was reporting on the sports desk. So I was pretty much like long hours, but normal hours. So now it's funny because I'm trying to watch the events, like especially gymnastics, because that's what I'm covering.
Yeah, you're covering the gymnastics, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to watch that during the day. And so my sleep patterns are pockets. But it's all good. It's like, it's one of those things where people here, everyone is kind of in the same boat. So everyone's just like, whatever, it's the Olympics. So you get sleep when you can. And I just take a lot of little naps.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience over there. Are you experiencing any respiratory problems while you're over there?
You know what? No, I haven't. But I will tell you, it's crazy. I mean, the first, seriously, 2 days that I got here, it was beautiful. The sky was really clear.
Right.
And I got off the plane and you're like, what's everybody talking about? Mm. And then it just got really smoggy all of a sudden, and it's been that way ever since. So,
you know, it's a strange.
You can't really.
Go ahead.
No, it kind of feels like a DC summer, to be honest with you. Like in some ways, just because of how hot and humid it can get, but it's like this dampness that we don't really have, and so it's just odd, you know. But they're doing a good job. It's just that you can't really see much. Like we went to the Great Wall, mm-hmm. and it was gorgeous, but you really couldn't get the view that. You know it's really there just because it was smoggy.
It's hard to tell when you're watching it on the tube because you're looking in the distance and you kind of see the heavy air hanging over certain venues. But I find the whole thing in Beijing just a surreal experience watching it on television. You've been following the gymnasts. They were pretty. I watched almost the whole group competition the other night, and they were pretty shaken up when they didn't win the gold the other night, right?
Yeah, they were. I mean, the crazy thing is that, and you then watched it, Alisa Sacramone, she's 20 years old, and she's the one that fell twice.
Right.
And it's interesting because she was, like, known as the mother hen of the group.
Right.
And I know when they were at the world competition, she was the one that rallied everybody together when they were having difficulty on floor, and she, like, snapped them back out. She went out, had an amazing performance, and helped them turn it around to win it. And so I think she's the one that they all look to for the rock, and she just lost it.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, you know, and it's interesting because people here keep debating it. If she hadn't done that, if she hadn't fallen twice, would they have, you know, had a different outcome? And I think the answer is no, because the differentiation in the scores, I think China would have won anyway. But the Chinese, it was crazy to see them react and get as emotional as they really were, because normally, you know, they're much more machine-like and everything. But it was obvious that they were so pleased with what they could do for their country. So, I don't know. It's crazy. But, yeah, they were disappointed. You know, I was talking to Bella Caroli after I had to interview him.
Oh, he's a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. He's the best. The first time I met him, you guys, I was so starstruck because I feel like growing up, I loved him.
Right.
You know?
We all watched him, right?
We all watched and Mary Lou and all that. And, you know, he every time I talk to him, talks about the underage, you know, dilemma that's going on and how people say the Chinese have 14-year-olds that are really competing.
Yeah, so. I was going to ask you about that. He was very outspoken about it, and I wanted to ask you, since you're close to the gymnastics over there, what are the teams, the other teams, talking about it? Do you hear about it a lot when you're around the coaches and you're around the people that are associated with gymnastics from other countries? How big is this controversy when you're right there and you're up close with all of this going on?
I mean, I hear about it from Bella because every time he does an interview, he kind of brings it up. But
right.
Him and besides that, I mean, yeah, it's like discussed. It's discussed in circles, especially around the media. And I know around people that have been in the business, like other coaches and stuff. But they look like they're eight, guys.
It comes through on television also.
At risk of sounding naive, what's the advantage of having a younger gymnast?
I'll tell you exactly what it is, and this is what Bella's point is. It's that it's kind of the opposite of what you might think. It's that they're inexperienced on this national stage, and they are international stage, rather. They don't know what it's like to have a big kind of fear. It's kind of like when you're 3 years old, and if you start skiing then, you just go down the hill with reckless abandon. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm surprised, Lindsay, that it's psychological. I thought it might be something where they're not going to go out of bounds on the floor exercises. But you're saying they mentioned this the other night, that like a 20-year-old is going to have a tougher time because they're feeling the pressure a lot more, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's why, and Bella made that point again, not to keep bringing him up, but that Alicia, you know, is the one that fell. Maybe she was feeling more of the pressure. And what happened was when she fell, maybe that instantly took any pressure that was still there off of China. And the one Chinese girl that fell that had an issue was Cheng Fei, who is the oldest person on their team. So who knows, you know, if that's really right. But it's an interesting concept to think about. And, I mean, the deal is that the AP and New York Times have done research on this, and there are different conflicting reports about these girls' ages. It's just that the passport really trumps all. So there's not much that they can really do about it. But I don't know. It's just interesting. It's really interesting for me to learn a lot about this because, to be honest with you, I watched it, but I didn't know a ton about it until I got here. And so, like, today we went out, or I guess yesterday now, I went to the venue and we shot a bunch of interviews that we're going to run during the week. And I got with a former Olympic athlete, and she was showing me every different thing about the different pieces of the apparatus. And it just floors me. I mean, I'm like, my goodness, I would never have the guts to do some of that stuff.
Yeah, you see it up close and personal. It's terrifying because I know that it doesn't look that daunting when you're watching on the tube, but when you see it, I'm sure it's very difficult to deal with.
Yeah, it is. No, it's nuts. I was asking one of the girls, you know, what do you do when you're up on top of the bar and you're trying to do a pirouette handstand move? And she's like, you just look at the bar, you don't look down, or else you get freaked out. I'm like, how do you do that? So it's crazy. It's really interesting.
As a journalist over there, I wanted to ask you, are you aware of the government presence when you're covering the games over there? I've seen a couple of shots on NBC where they'll show the guys that almost look like they're wearing regular street clothes, but they've got the earpiece and there's security around. Are you aware of any of the government presence around you while you're covering the games?
I was in Torino, and there was much more of a visual presence that I sensed there, just because you see, you know, different officials on the street corners with guns and stuff around there. And that's interesting to me, because here you don't see that. But what I see is my certain internet sites not working. You know what I mean?
Right.
Computers a lot slower, stuff like that. So that is really, really interesting. I mean, the other thing is, and I don't know about this, but, you know, people talk about different things, that there's probably surveillance going on 24/7 in certain areas, you know?
It's very scary. It really is.
It's just really weird. So, I mean, that's really it. We don't really, I feel very, very safe here. I really do, just because the technology is one thing, but I know it's evident that they've gone to great lengths to make a great show, you know, and to really realize that this is their chance, that China's on stage. But, you know, I mean, that stuff is for real. And, I mean, I guess, though, my point is, the most blatant place I see it is honestly certain websites that we can't get on because we know that they're blocked. Or, for example, this doesn't happen to me, but friends of mine have been watching television, and they'll watch something, and all of a sudden something will go off, you know, that they're watching.
That's Big Brother is always watching. Besides the games, have you had a chance to experience any Beijing? It sounds like you're working all the time. Have you had a chance to experience Beijing, China at all?
Yeah, you know what? This is cool, but we went karaoke.
Wow, I thought that was Japanese.
No, right? Well, here's the deal. I mean, when you get here, yeah, we're working our butts off completely. So it's like literally, I do not know the next time that I'm going to be able to see any of the sites here. But I made sure that I went to the Great Wall, and then we did go to karaoke, and it was fascinating because you get in there, it's crazy. Yeah, you know, it's like in the States, but then when you get into it in China, they walk you into these little rooms that are like small dens with a huge leather couch that like wraps around the room.
Wow, sounds naughty to me.
Yeah, well, I know. Trust me. So you walk in there, and then they've got a big, huge flat screen on one wall, uh-huh. And they have the big table in the middle, and they serve you when you're in there. So, you know, they'll bring in whatever you want, drinks, food. But it's crazy. So that they have, like, four microphones just laying there in the middle and this big machine, and that's where you pick whatever you want to listen to.
Well, America's dying to know, Lindsay, what did you sing?
Yeah, what did you sing?
My signature karaoke is Neil Diamond.
Oh, my God. Right.
Very good.
No. So we did Sweet Caroline, and I like some Alabama, too. So we did that. But, we had a great group, and it was so much fun. And it's just, I don't know, it was crazy because it was such a random experience that people that are normally really quiet were just busting loose, and you got to love that.
Mm-hmm. I can, I know you're over in Beijing, and you've been away from it a while, but I want to get you back on your regular beat here ask you a question about Jim Zorn. Seems to have it going on. Seems like, you know, they're talking already about it around here. Mm-hmm. You know, Super Bowl.
Oh, God, I don't want to jinx it. I know. But,
I will. That's okay.
No, that's fine. You can do that. Mm-hmm. I think that, I love it. I love what I'm reading. I'm trying to keep up on all the quotes and everything that's going on. But I really think that it also has to do with the fact that everybody right now is on the same page, you know, and the fact that they're all in this together. And I think that, you know, everything from Clinton Portis really taking on more of maybe a leadership role and Zorn realizing what he needs and, you know, and kind of allowing him to give him a little bit here if he's willing to put forth there. I think that that's part of it. I think also the fact that everyone's growing together because they've got to learn this new system, and that doesn't only mean players but coaches too. I just think it's like kind of breeds a certain togetherness. And so I think that beyond all of the like fresh start talk, that's kind of what it is. So I don't know. I'm so excited to see the West Coast offense. And I think that he's really worked hard to get Jason Campbell up to speed. I mean, and I don't know because obviously I haven't been able to see it with my own eyes, but
right.
How do you guys think Jason has looked so far?
He looks very, very good. And Jim Zorn, there's a vibe. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going on the intangibles here. When you just get a feeling and the kind of camp that he's running. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't hurt when you're winning in preseason as well. And now with the entire Brett Favre situation with the Jets, you know, you've got one of the biggest games, probably the biggest game in preseason is going to involve the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much to get this town excited about the Redskins. But there is a very good vibe around the team this year, and I think it's going to be a special season. That's just the way I feel about it, but I'm not trying to jinx anybody.
No, yeah, it's interesting because I feel like the thing about him, what I've gathered so far from being able to talk to him a few times in interview settings, is that he's so dynamic, and he is very funny, but he's very honest. And I think that I've seen that come across, especially with the players, too, and relating to them on the former player coach role, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
And I think that does make a difference. And I think that it's almost like it worked out really well the way that he's got the leftover coaches that he has to still kind of keep him in line, help him along. But they really are there to pick up the slack, and I think that's allowing him more time to even work with Jason and kind of get him up to speed. So I think that's cool. But talking about football, you know what's funny? I went into the commissary today here at lunch, and one of my friends pulled me over. He's like, hey, I want you to meet someone. And it was Paul Tagliabue.
He's over there. He's over there enjoying himself.
Yeah, he's with his wife. And it was crazy because I met him and he's like, oh, we watch Channel 4. And it was funny because I haven't met him in person before. So he's taking in some events. And
I have a question, Lindsay, about I want to get back to China for a second.
Yeah.
We talked about the security presence and, you know, getting out and about. I'm curious, you know, we had the big controversy, obviously, that was a great tragedy, you know, with the wacko stabbing the volleyball coach, the coach's father-in-law. But when you're over there, I know they're putting on a show, and the people are probably instructed in many ways on how to behave. But how are you feeling when you're out and about the reception, about the average Chinese person on the streets of Beijing? How are you feeling that Americans are being received over there?
I think they're all very, very kind. And most of the people that I've been around now, granted, they've got a million people that are working and volunteering for the game. So most of the people that I have interaction with on the streets are people that, you know, have the Olympic shirts on that are like guiding you or whatever. And those people are all very, very, very kind. I mean, even when they're telling you you can't go somewhere,
right,
they're like nodding their heads. You know what I mean? Because they don't confrontation. But I was in the subway, and that, you know, people are nice. They kind of just stare. I mean, honestly, I was in Tiananmen Square one of the first 2 days I was here. Me and my other friend, Lindsay, who's also working here, who also has blonde hair, we were there together just, like, taking pictures and getting the sightseeing in. And all of a sudden, a couple people started coming up to us asking if they could take their pictures with us because we looked so different. So we did it. We did it, but it was funny because the first person that did it, they had their son get in the photo with us. They snapped the picture, and I'm not kidding, a line formed.
Wow.
They just kept coming up to us, and it's crazy. So it's like we, you know, we look so different to them, and they're really open. And it floored me because I'm sitting there snapping pictures of all the umbrellas. It was a beautiful, bright, sunny day, and there were so many umbrellas. And then all of a sudden, it's like the table turned, and it was just really funny. I mean, we were laughing so hard we couldn't breathe because it's like, what is going on?
Oh, but sounds like fun, though. It sounds like you're having a blast over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, and it's a lot of fun. And who knows if it helps, it's going to make history, and that's exciting. So.
And as far as gymnastics now, the next the individuals, what do you see?
Yeah, the all around.
What do you see the all around? What are the U.S.'s chances in the all around?
They're great. Sean Johnson and Nastia Lukin are seated first and second, and so they obviously are the favorites, which is going to be interesting because it's going to be a competition against each other. I mean, they both won basically at the highest level, and so Sean Johnson is much more like the Mary Lou Retton kind of build, but, you know, shorter, compact, and it's interesting because Nastia is the polar opposite. She's like the way elegant gymnast, and her father was a champion gymnast. Her mother was a rhythmic gymnast, so she's got that elegance sort of thing going on. So it's going to come down, I believe, really to them, unless there's some sort of dark horse. And Chung Fei is a really talented Chinese gymnast. So
tell us when your show's going to be on Oxygen.
Oh, it is on 7:30. It's a half an hour show on 7:30 on Oxygen, 7:30 p.m. in the States. And so it's actually part of a 2-hour show, which is on the Olympics, which starts at 6 o'clock. But 7:30, and it's a lot of fun. It's really cool.
All right, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And now that we've asked you the sports questions, a compliment, if you don't mind, okay? I really have to. I wouldn't be doing my job, and everybody in Washington, I wouldn't be doing them a service if I didn't tell you are the hottest thing on Washington television since Gordon Peterson.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that compliment. You're the hottest thing on radio. So.
How much sleep are you averaging over there in Beijing? Seriously, I mean, you said you're coming in. That blows me away. I figured you're starting your day, but you're just coming in. How much sleep are you averaging over there?
Probably like 5, 4 to 5 hours.
Wow.
But that's okay. It's okay. No, I found the trick. My dad's over here, actually, and he's going to kill me for saying this, but he's working for his job, and so his hotel is attached, actually, to where we're working.
Uh-huh.
And so if I need a nap, I can just go to sleep.
Well, you have a great time over there. It's great having you on the show.
Absolutely.
I'm a huge fan of yours. I look forward to talking some more football with you when the season starts. And, you know, and I didn't know, I was reading about you today. I didn't know you were a local lady. You're from Centerville.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for years.
Oh, good.
Cool.
I feel 90 years old.
Call into your show.
Well, if I can offer one piece of advice, Lindsay, while you're over there, make sure you get to the commissary before Michael Phelps.
Yeah, you read about the Michael Phelps breakfast, right?
You guys, do you believe that? 12,000 calories.
I can't believe you. Look at the guy. I mean, I know he's tall, but I couldn't. I read that today. I haven't read many things recently that actually made my jaw drop when you realize how much that man ingests. If I did that, it would be a heart attack before I got to my car.
Seriously, I saw that on CNN here, and I was like, someone must be making stuff up, and we're all buying into it. Because how can an entire pizza plus an entire pasta dinner?
A pound of pasta. I swear to God, I know he's from Baltimore. I want to get him down here, and I want him to eat that pasta. I want him I won't interview him. He doesn't have to talk.
I simply
want him to eat his breakfast in front of me, and I want to see if it's true.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting. Right? They said, like 2 fried egg sandwiches and a 5 egg omelet.
I know.
I don't know, man.
It's
what
sick.
Amazing.
It's totally sick. Lindsay, have a fantastic time over in Beijing, and we really, really look forward to talking to you when you get back to the States, okay?
Same here. Thanks, guys.
Lindsay Zarniak, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
There she goes from Beijing, China.
Wow.
Wow. She a risen to you, Shoujo.
How'd I do?
I think you did well. I think you
did impressed. Keep it together?
I think you impressed her.
You're drooling a little bit, but other than that, you did very, very well.
She can't see the drool.
And I don't want to make any announcements here, but you know, that's the first little contact we had, and we're going to hopefully have more contact with Lindsay. Not that I haven't been reminding Beth Ann about that every single day.
I hadn't noticed.
I think she's the best thing on Washington television. I truly do. I've thought that for a very long time.
Love to have her back.
And she is just wonderful to talk to. So that's Lindsay Zarniak, and we have to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get to Nikki Biggs back in here.
Nikki Biggs!
She's gone through about like one-third of the sex toys that she brought.
More toys to come.
Didn't want to tell Lindsay we were doing a sex toy segment there. You know, I want to just keep it on the journalistic level. And
not this early in the relationship.
You know, she's incredible. That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mike. Yeah, later.
She knows.
Thanks to Lindsay Zarniak over in Beijing. Watch her show on Oxygen and also watch her on Channel 4 here in D.C. And we'll be right back after these commercial messages.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.